Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Jalen, can I read this back to you, make sure I got it right? So you said, the question is, when he gives you direction, are you characterized by innovation and compromise, or obedience, action, and follow through? That is a, I think, very timely and perfectly fitted question going into a night like tonight, coming off of all that happened last week. There's so much in this, in these hosting elements. There's so much in just the process that we're in overall as a family of really shifting more so our understanding of what Yahweh's walking us through and what he's calling us to. And I think that there's, obviously we've seen the past couple weeks with the elder brother hosting and the teaching that's come, there's just been an absolutely undeniable coupling of every one of those elements in every piece of the night. And I know that that's an equipping thing that just further sends us into all of what we're walking out, right? I was going to actually also highlight, Jalen, just one of your points from hosting last week, which is the question, how do you want to be remembered? I think coupling this week in the environment that you've set and what you're highlighting, and then coupling last week, coming into a night like tonight where there really is this press on detailed instructions, we're walking through a very detailed process, but we're not ill-equipped, right? We're not ill-equipped. We're not missing pieces. We're not having to question. We're not having to worry about things that are missing. We've been equipped. We've been sent. We've been given everything that we need to fully walk it out. And tonight is another one of those nights where we're going to further step into that. Just as a, I feel like, not even for the family, but more so even for me, just speaking to the tone that was set, and even just being able to support and further send you into teaching tonight, Megan, is just the reminder that we've been equipped, but even more importantly, that process of mourning what was old and the things that we've operated in before is done. Last week was a stamp and a finish of something,
right,
and a further sending into something so much deeper. The absolutely mind-blowing thing in all of that is, as new and as refreshing, equipping, shocking in some ways that last week felt, none of it was new. And that is such a beautiful yet stirring dichotomy of where Yahweh has us, is this place of understanding what we've been equipped in and what he's calling us unto, but knowing that what he's calling us unto is because of the equipping, but then it's because of the equipping that we're able to see what we're called unto. It's just this constant loop and this constant thing that he's just reaffirming. And I know that tonight is going to be another one of those nights. Without knowing literally, Megan, what you're going to release and what you're going to teach on, it just feels like there's so much in this portion in and of itself. But the aspects of everything that's being poked at, that's being highlighted, that's being touched, is just going to be further stamped with Yahweh's approval and further given, we're going to be given even more opportunity to just further step into it. So we're ready. We're looking forward to it. We are not just excited because it's a night where we're gathered, but we're excited because it's another opportunity for equipping. It's another opportunity to step deeper and deeper and deeper. So we have our hands open, we have our hearts open, we're ready to receive our instruction and move.
I'm excited about tonight because it does feel like a continuation somewhat of last week's teaching, but from the perspective of safeguarding what it means to be a true witness. And what we could say is new, but like what Jason was saying, they're all kind of basic fundamental principles that we haven't necessarily heard in that order or in that way following what Yahweh has been doing. And so I'm excited because I feel like hearing the words true witness
or a false witness just brought so much clarity to even the last beyond decade of even my life personally. And so with some of the things that have already been spoken to as far as setting the tone for tonight and sending us into tonight, what I'm hearing in innovation is that there's danger in taking your own liberties, which is the epitome of a false witness.
Yeah.
That was the definition of a false witness, right? It was self-interpretation outside of the actual word. And being a true witness and what it means to be this literal representation of Yahweh himself and walking as Yeshua did as a complete true witness. So we're going to talk about that tonight, but it's going to come in the form of self-reflection and identifying what keeps us from being a true witness and what the pull is to stepping in a place of false, like falsehood. So I wanna talk a little bit more about last week before we get into tonight, which, like I said, is a safeguarding of what it means to be a true witness. But in order for there to be a safeguarding of what it looks like for you to be a true witness, that means you have to be aware of yourself, right? If you're called to be a true witness, then you have to be able to discern if the way that you represent him is true or false. That's simple, but it's not simple in our daily lives, right? Because there's ways that we come in and out of true representation because there's subtle compromises that we make in our lives or that we dismiss as seemingly small, and in reality they cause this separation in you or in us that then separates us from being able to be just like Joshua and represent him fully and be that messenger that's true in what you present. Okay. Right? With your life, not with your words. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, but with your actual life.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, so as far as last week, one of the things that I want us to have, I guess, just clear perspective on before we move into the rest of the evening is that if you could take last week's teaching and put it in like a, I think the word I used when I was talking to Jalen was like a bottle, or if you could bottle it up, it's the perfect description of what it would look like after your heart turns towards him, you recognize who Yahweh is, you recognize who Yeshua is, and the position that puts you in. Right? There should be an immediate recognizing when you give him full authority over your life. He is over you. Mm-hmm. Right? He's over you. And that has to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Your life should look different when he is the authority over it.
Right.
You can't just live how you choose because you're being fathered and you're being led. Right? And so the picture that we were given last week was like, okay, your heart's turned. At least this is how it felt to me. Your heart's turned. You acknowledge who he is. You acknowledge who Yeshua is. You acknowledge that you're in need because apart from who Yeshua is, there's nothing. And you acknowledge Yahweh is your creator.
Yeah.
That your life begins and it's a journey.
Right.
I mean, this is me going back through the actual word from last week.
Mm-hmm.
That you recognize, okay, now my life is a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where I am being readied to receive the fullness of the destination that he has for his people.
Yeah.
So there was an immediate like course correction before you even, if you were to look at it from the beginning, then it would be a course correction before you even start your journey. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it felt to me last week. Yeah. It's like, okay, redo.
Yeah.
In my relationship, I have to recognize it's a journey.
Yeah.
So that I don't compartmentalize transforming or the pursuit of his image. Mm-hmm. Then through that, it's the receiving of inheritance, but from the perspective of also my responsibility. Do you guys remember what those were, the conditions to receive? Yeah? Yes. Yes. Upholding the standard. Yes. Okay. Then we get into the breakdown of Joshua, where we recognize that Joshua, being a messenger by definition, that he is a true witness, which means that his word, or the word, sorry, is accurately represented by his action, by not negotiating or self-interpreting. So a false witness speaks from personal interpretation.
Right.
Okay? So they take, a false witness will take the word or will take direction and then interpret it personally. And I know that that can, it's like, well, yes, we have to be able to receive the word, but there's a difference in receiving the word so that you can apply it and picking and choosing what you receive so that your responsibility is minimal or absent altogether.
Yeah.
Okay? Those are the distinctions. All right, so we got to hear more and understand more fully what it means then for us to be a true witness, recognizing that that we have a fullness of inheritance, which already is a call to responsibility, to stewardship, and to be able to take responsibility for what it is that is a gift to you. Right? We don't want to be frivolous with a gift that we've been given. And then apply the course corrections as you walk out the rest of your journey as a son or as a daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. To me, it like perfectly summed up what it looks like to walk out your salvation,
mm-hmm.
to apply salvation in your life. Okay, so part of why I wanted to go back through that is so that we're recognizing where we are in the Torah portion for tonight, because whenever there are instructions, whenever there's laws or there's more about the feasts, especially if a lot of it is repetitive and it's things we've heard in Exodus, we've heard, you know, in other parts of Numbers or of Leviticus, we have a tendency to kind of just like, okay,
yeah,
I know these,
yeah,
I've read these,
yeah,
I've heard these. I'm familiar with these. Did anyone find themselves having to work through as soon as you realized like what the portion was? Work through that mindset of, I've heard this.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad that we're acknowledging that, because it's important for us to recognize that this is not the same.
Yeah.
Not that even before, if he was to repeat, let me say that. If your father feels like you need instructions repeated, it is significant, right? That would be like a parent saying, I don't feel like you are fully understanding this yet. So I'm going to say it again. And you're like, I already know. You've already said that. Please don't say it again. If you were applying it,
right.
Or if he believed that you could fully apply without wavering or what, he might not say it again, but he is. So we have to listen. At the same time, part of what's different about what what is being spoken over the people now is different because it is a different generation.
Right. Yeah.
So we have different components here than we have before. Because there's so much equipping. Like there's so much equipping over your lives. And when you read through the word, it's amazing how fully equipping Yahweh is to his people.
Right. Yeah.
Repeating instruction, ensuring. Oh, Steve's here. he's like, get me in. But that repeating of instruction is so important at any time. But in this particular time, it's being spoken over the next generation.
Yeah.
Because remember, a generation died off.
Yeah, right.
In the wilderness,
right.
And only who made it? We've got Caleb, we've got Joshua, and we have an understanding of what set them apart,
right.
Which is part of what we're going to talk about tonight as well, a continuation of that and how we can follow in suit.
Okay.
But we've got a new generation who is also called to operate in a different spirit. Right?
Yeah.
So you've got maybe in some instructions that are the same, but they're being reiterated to a new generation of people and under a new leadership.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which changes everything.
Yeah.
When you receive instruction under that new leadership, you are different.
Yeah.
So the way that you're going to receive even the same instruction is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
I would hope that I would be able to receive instruction if it was repeated instruction in a more mature manner than when I heard it the first time.
Yeah.
Right? That wouldn't be a very good sign if I threw the same fit over the same instruction as I did when I was 16 compared to when I received those instructions when I was 5.
Yeah.
Right? That would be indicative of a lack of maturing, a lack of growth.
Right?
Okay. So we've got a new generation called to operate from a different spirit. Do we remember what that different spirit is, or what we're calling the distinction between how Joshua and Caleb operated, I kind of just gave it away, how Joshua and Caleb operated versus like the masses.
Yeah.
It was just the Joshua and Caleb spirit, right, is just what we're calling it, that what we want to attain is a spirit like Joshua and Caleb, who even when the masses return or when the majority of people return with a false report of what God has promised, they said, no, this is what's true, and we know his character, and we can stand in faith and assurance that he is good, he is faithful, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay? There's lots of distinctions being made, and I probably am going to use that word a lot, but that's intentional over us, because there are distinctions that are being made.
Yes.
Right? If there's a new way that the people are being led in this Torah portion, and there is a new spirit or a different spirit that they're called to operate in than the people who were governed by fear.
Yeah.
Then those are some distinctions that you're going to be making in your own life.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Joshua and Caleb, in comparison to the, in quotes, the masses, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a false report that spread so much discouragement, they brought a true report,
right.
Which is also the expression of a true witness. Okay. Do I need to go through the leadership style shift? Or do we feel like we understand? Yes, we understand?
Yes, we understand.
Okay, I'm like, yes, go through, yes, understand. Okay, all right. So the reason I'm asking is just for us to still to have more context as to why it's important that these instructions aren't just, yeah. I know these.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we don't fully understand the leadership change that happened from Aaron to Eleazar and what that means for the people to no longer be led through the wilderness out of being rescued, right, where there's fear, there's desperation, it was all about the preserving of their lives, to where they are now, or where we also are now, then it's going to be hard for us to recognize what we need to moving on.
Right.
Okay? Okay. All right, so this wasn't just a call to remember. That's one thing that Yahweh has spoken before when instructions, yeah, repeated, is I need you to remember. Right? I'm reminding you. I'm making sure that this is imprinted on your mind and on your heart and that you remember, meaning you honor me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that. It is this detailed, can you believe how detailed it really was?
Yeah.
These instructions?
Yeah.
They're concise and they are organized.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a detail-oriented God.
Yeah.
By year, by season, by month, by day, this is how my people,
yeah,
will worship me or offer sacrifice, which is worship.
Yeah.
Okay. So, while they are preparing to receive part of their inheritance in the promised land, he's continuing to impart identity.
Yeah.
That is so important that we don't feel like we've just got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, really, just that we don't allow for complacency.
Yeah.
He's always, always going to be imparting into your identity.
Yeah.
Always adding to your identity. Always shoring up your identity in him. Always. But before inheriting a promise, there may be something specific that Yahweh is needing to ensure to safeguard even the people from themselves before they receive something.
Yeah.
It's like what we've talked about before, where sometimes we'll bargain with him,
yeah,
and we'll say, but if you just show me that you're faithful, or if,
yeah,
you just,
yeah, yeah,
like give me a picture, yeah, or a glimpse or a piece of the promise, then I'll believe.
Right.
Then I'll know you're good.
Yeah.
Then I'll know you're faithful.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's before it's even received.
Yeah.
That we're bargaining, yeah, that we have a tendency to accuse, let alone when you're actually receiving a part of that promise. What do you think could happen if things aren't set in order in your identity,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden you've received what you've been walking towards and it's not even everything?
Yeah.
Talk about complacency, or talk about the potential for complacency. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So those are the things that he's doing in reiterating those instructions. He's continuing to impart identity. He's speaking to and equipping the next generation. He's recognizing that they are a different people, or that they're called to be a different people, right? led by a different leadership, called to operate from a different spirit, all so that they can fully inherit that promise, recognizing that that promise is still just a beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of order that has to be set.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Part of the the significance that I want us to focus on tonight, those are all kind of some practical things. And I'm not going to get into the actual sacrifices and, you know, get into the details of those, because we have gone over the different types of sacrifices, what they represent, their purpose, how it arcs with Yeshua, and how it arcs with, you know, all of Scripture, from the Old to the New, and all of that terminology. So we're not going to go into that, but what we are going to go into is really acknowledging why sacrifice was and is so important, and it's this reminder of who the source is. Okay? Now, why that's important is because, like I said, we're going to be talking about how to safeguard you being a true witness. And if there's stewardship, like if we steward outside of the source, that is the same as being a false witness. So your stewardship outside of the source means that you're the source, which is what a false witness is.
That was good, Megan.
Okay?
Say it again.
I'll try. We're going to break it down some more. But basically, why we're focusing on this, like why he's highlighting the source, and that bringing continual sacrifice in your life allows you to point back to him as the source, keeps you from being the source, which is a false witness. Because then you're witnessing yourself. Right? What you're presenting is you, not him. Okay. All right. So what is he the source of, and why is it necessary that our life be sacrificial? So they're rescued. Were you rescued?
Yes.
Okay. They're redeemed. Were you redeemed?
Yes.
Okay. Did he give you life?
Yes.
Does he continue to sustain and give you life?
Yes.
Yes. Did he create you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. When you weren't able to steward creation, yourself or man, when we weren't able to steward creation, did he bring restoration? Yes. Okay. So he is the source. That's clear. But what happens in, as we'll see in Scripture, but also in our own lives, is that we quickly forget.
Yes.
Right? We quickly forget to acknowledge him as the source, which is why there are protocols in place, which is why he says, I need you to be living sacrifices so that you're always pointing back to the source and not yourself.
Okay.
So in continuously worshiping the source, which when you read that scripture, you're like, every day? Sacrifices every day? Was that anyone's thought?
It's okay. They're like.
But my point is, you sacrifices every day. Yes. You are meant to be a sacrifice every day to the source. Okay? So in continuously worshiping the source, you're held accountable. The people are held accountable to not believe that they are the source. All right. I'm going to bring in another term, because this is what Yahweh wants us to self-reflect on.
Okay?
All right. So, in worshiping the source, Yahweh, we're held accountable to not believe the source is us. Okay? Believing you are the source is what self-righteousness is. Okay? That's what it means to be self-righteous. That word can get kind of thrown around a lot in religion.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to recognize self-righteousness in ourselves if we're going to pursue righteousness.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
Meaning, if I'm self-righteous, I can't pursue righteousness because I'm already thinking I have it.
Yeah.
But I'm the one who's putting the stamp on my own condition.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. This is a really simple word tonight, and it's not very lengthy. It is Yahweh wanting us to grab a hold of a true witness and a false witness, safeguard that within ourselves by acknowledging the difference between righteousness and self-righteousness, and evaluate it. That's it.
Okay?
Okay, so we're going to start breaking it down so that we can start evaluating. All right. So righteousness, start, just tell me, what is righteousness? What does it mean to be righteous? Those are all good. There was a lot at once. I'm like, yeah. Those are all good. Yes. Okay. So righteousness in Scripture. Well, there's a couple things. There's a definition of righteousness scripturally. Then there's also the way that the word references righteousness in general, which is always about His instruction. Always about His instruction, always about His justice, always about His perspective that He is righteous. And He is the one, the only one who can say what is and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one who can define sin, not our own personal like rankings or however we think we see sin, but His perspective on what is sin and how to atone for that sin. Okay? Those who obey the law will be considered righteous. Both declared righteous. Now, this is where we don't get into legalism. Both declared righteous and called to live righteously. So you were declared righteous.
Right.
And it's done. You are declared righteous. And in response, you are called to live righteously.
Yes, right.
It's both.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So righteousness could be defined as covenant faithfulness, right relationship. And then, like I said, those who obey the law, both declared righteous and called to live righteously, according to Scripture. Okay. Now, when you are self-righteous, what that means is you are self-proclaimed righteous. So, if you're self-proclaimed righteous, it's like self-proclaiming your superiority. Okay? That can be morally or in any other way. Right? You believe you can or have achieved righteousness on your own. And a self-righteous person, this is going back to the distinction between a true witness and a false witness, a self-righteous person will speak from their own interpretation. Okay? Not his. All right. Something that is kind of threatening about self-righteousness is that it can give off an illusion of godliness, which can convince you or people around you to believe that you are a true witness.
Can you read those again?
Which part? To self-proclaim your own righteousness, superiority, morally and otherwise.
Okay.
believe you can or have achieved righteousness on your own. And a self-righteous person speaks from their own interpretation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so self-righteousness, this is how it can blind us. It gives the illusion of godliness, but you are the source, not him.
Yes.
Which is what makes you a false witness.
Right.
Which is part of why when you're being held accountable to something, yeah, or you're being counseled in something, yeah, or you're being discipled in something, yeah, or when Yahweh's speaking over you, he, yeah, might say, I need you to get off of the throne.
Yes.
Yeah. I personally, yeah, know that that's something that other people have had to walk through because,
right,
it's about the source.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have a godly life, but ultimately be the own source of your godliness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You guys know I like to do character breakdowns. That's just what Yahweh does in me as he shores up my character. And so I just feel like it's a really helpful,
yes,
tool to be able to like move into evaluation or self-awareness. And it's just simple equipping. So hopefully it feels helpful. And also not necessarily offensive. I mean, it might be a little offensive, only because he is ensuring that he's the source. And when he asks you not to be, it can be hard.
Yes.
You know, because there are so many things that we control in our lives that we don't recognize that we're controlling,
yeah,
until he's like, can I be the source of all things?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I sometimes innocently we're like, I thought that I'm sorry. I thought that you were, but obviously you're not. You know, even if it's just about like a purification or there's an aspect of your heart, you know, it's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, to allow him to be the source or acknowledge that just frees you.
Yeah.
It's just more freeing, if anything, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing to be intimidated by when you evaluate, do I have any self-righteousness in me, which I would probably say we all do. Only because we're learning how to die to ourselves.
Yes.
Right? So that's part of the process of learning how to be a sacrifice and die to yourself so that he can truly be glorified and honored with your life and you're not working at being the one who's honored.
Right? Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do we know if there's self-righteousness in us? All right. Here are some very practical things to write down. And if you're writing, I know not everyone takes notes, but if you're writing them down, make sure that you note them so that you can refer back to them later or listen back through so that you can refer to them later, because this is essentially like our homework, all right, is to go through these. Okay, so how do I know if I'm self-righteous? Number one, you're judgmental. Okay. All right. So when we operate in judgment, what that means is basically someone who's self-righteous typically values their own opinion or their perspective over others. Right? Some people are fully owning that in this moment right now. They're like, I absolutely believe that. Okay. That's good. All right, so someone who's self-righteous typically values their own opinion or perspective over that of others. What that means is you're not even willing to understand. Okay? What judgment does is it literally, like, I sounded like my daughter. Is it, like, it literally, it's, what judgment does, you, she's all pointing at her big sister, I'm like, no, that's you. No, what judgment does is it closes off your ability or your willingness, I should say, to put yourself in a position to just understand.
Yeah.
Right? Which isn't even the same as agreeing.
Yeah.
It's not even the same as like, yeah, I'm fully giving everything over to that or whatever it looks like. But you can't even position yourself to understand someone else's perspective. Okay. When you're judgmental, you scrutinize other people's actions. And that's something that you might have to like kind of flip on an awareness switch. Because if you've struggled with that for a certain amount of time, you might not even recognize that you do it.
Yeah.
Like that you're constantly, your mind is constantly scrutinizing what other people do.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're scrutinizing the actions, lifestyle, or way of thinking of someone else. Okay.
People's faces were all sitting so close. In a good way, but she's like.
Okay. All right. So, how do you know if you're self-righteous? Number one, struggle with judgment. Okay? So, we're judgmental. Number two, you're defensive.
I'm not defensive.
It's like a dad joke thing. Okay. So someone who's self-righteous will see accountability, correction, or even a different perspective as a threat.
Can you say that again?
Yes. Someone who's, now this isn't like a full definition. These are my definitions just based on pressing in and Yahweh having me reflect on these very things. Okay? Someone who is self-righteous sees accountability, correction, or even a different perspective as a threat. You could also look at defensiveness as like fear of being wrong. That might not be what you're consciously thinking, but inherently, when you're quick to defend yourself, there's oftentimes this like self-preservation that's coming forward because at some level you don't want to acknowledge, which is what I mean by afraid, you don't want to acknowledge that you could be wrong. So that looks like pride or arrogance. They're the same definitions, but that is defensiveness. Okay. Okay, are we, is this making sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone say it's a lot?
Like, we're only on number two. There's 12. No, I'm just kidding. There's only four.
There's only four. Everyone's fine. You guys, we're okay. We're okay. Okay. We want him to be the source, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to pursue righteousness, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to let him address where we have some self-righteousness in us. Okay? So we can be a true witness, not a false witness, where we're the source and he's not. It's simple. It's okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to repeat them. How do I know if I'm self-righteous? Number one, judgmental. Number two, defensive. Number three, this is the term that Yahweh gave me, and I've heard it so many times, I'm so excited to use it. Okay, you're a Lone Ranger. I'm sorry if I'm crushing anyone's dream, and they're like, but a Lone Ranger is a good thing. I understand that there's aspects of a Lone Ranger that's like a hero, and, you know, I get it. But for the purpose of this word, a Lone Ranger is not good. Okay? It's not heroic. Okay. No, it's not heroic. All right, so someone who's self-righteous will typically position themselves alone in life. They make their own decisions. They don't consult with others. They're, in quotes, self-reliant. Okay? Which really just means that you rely predominantly on yourself and you call it independence. Okay?
A million nines, Megan.
Not nines.
No.
Can you read that definition?
Yes. Someone who is self-righteous will typically position themselves alone in life. They'll make their own decisions. They don't consult with others. And they're, in quotes, self-reliant. Yep. Which means they rely predominantly on themselves, but they claim it as independence. Good. Okay. So last week, one of the things that was conveyed about Joshua was actually that very thing, that we think maturity means independence. Joshua wasn't released into independence. He was marked by fidelity to the original word and to the source of its authority. Can we hear the distinction between self-reliance or independence or being like alone, a lone ranger, versus being someone who's mature because they're marked by faithfulness to the original word and its source? That's a completely different way of operating. When you are a lone ranger, or when you are alone in self-righteousness, it is because it's like what we're saying about a false witness, right? You want to interpret on your own. So if going back to that word from last week, if Joshua was marked by fidelity and was and recognizing the source of his authority, then again, just like self-righteousness giving you the illusion of godliness, it's still the same concept of you being on the throne. Okay. Are we good with that? Okay. All right. The fourth one is a lack of self-awareness. Okay. All right. So in self-righteousness, when you have a lack of awareness, you can't identify where you are. Why you think the way you do, why you feel the way you do, behave the way you do, and how it all affects others. Can you also hear why these are super important for us to recognize now with Yahweh bringing a new way of leading his people? Does that make sense? Okay. If you can't identify where you are, you're going to have to be rescued again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if he's equipped you, you have all of the tools, you have everything that you need to be able to maintain the identity that he's established in you when he rescued you, and that whole process that he took you through to continue on in your maturity, you're going to have to be rescued again. Okay. You can have part of those also, right? Like, we could operate in a way where we are aware of where we are to a certain degree, You could even be aware of why you have some of the mindsets that you do, but you don't carry how it affects others. That's still a lack of self-awareness. Self-awareness doesn't end with you just being aware of yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how we see it, is like, I'm aware of myself. But if you're truly aware of yourself, you're aware of how your actions affect other people.
Yeah.
So if you're not there yet, then that would be the next step in your maturity. Okay? But it is connected to self-righteousness. Okay, what's crazy about a lack of self-awareness is when you can't identify where you are, but you're in something like judgment. I'm just going to let that sit for a minute. Does that even make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Does it make sense for us to be in judgment when we have no awareness of ourselves?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it ever makes sense to be in judgment. That is not a characteristic of Yahweh. He is a judge.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not position you to be be one who judges others.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyways, what's crazy is when we operate in things like judgment and defensiveness, it's like we're believing that we're capable of assessing others while we can't evaluate ourselves. Right?
Yeah.
So, in self-righteousness, we can even be more aware of others than we are of ourselves, meaning we're more aware of their actions, what they're doing, their behaviors, their mindsets, the way that they see all of these things, because we're scrutinizing and we're picking apart because we're dismissing the press on ourselves.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That was it. It was just four. I'm going to go through them really quickly just one more time to make sure everyone has them in their notes, not go back through all the definitions, but just run through them and so that we hear it one more time, and then we're going to finish with, like I said, it's a short word, then we're going to finish with just recognizing why this is detrimental for us now. Okay?
That's good, Megan.
All right. So how do I know if I am self-righteous? And don't already become defensive. Don't already become judgmental and start thinking of who around you is self-righteous and not willing to, you know, be aware of yourself. Like, just, if that's happening, you are self-righteous, okay? Let's just make that clear. Let's just own. All right, so how do I know if I'm self-righteous? Number one, you're judgmental. Number two, you're defensive. Number three, you're a lone ranger. And number four, you have a lack of self-awareness. Okay. All right, now to fully own this, we also can't pick and choose as far as, well, I'm this sometimes, or I'll operate in judgment when what? When the situation warrants that you're judgmental?
Yeah.
You know, so just let him address it fully and don't excuse yourselves before, because he is readying you.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? All right, and why that's happening is everything to do with where we are, where the people are, so that we can be characterized, like Jalen said, by obedience, by action, and follow through. And ultimately, that we would be a true witness and reflection of the source as we step into, or as the people step into their inheritance. There's a nation that's being reestablished.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guidelines for that nation to be reestablished so that they're a pure reflection of who he is and what he's done. You're the same. Right? You are the same. You have the same responsibility. Okay? So just like he was preparing his people to occupy and to reestablish a nation, He is preparing you to occupy and reestablish a kingdom.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yep.
Okay. I want to read something from Deuteronomy that just speaks a little bit more to why it is so significant that Yahweh takes the time to reiterate instruction before they move into the Promised Land. Okay, so this is Deuteronomy 6. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to read all of it. Yeah, I am, because we have the time. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today are to be on your heart. You are to teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. They are to be as frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, when Adonai your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns dug that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and you eat and are full, then watch yourself so that you do not forget Adonai, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. You must fear Adonai your God and serve him and swear by his name. You must not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For Adonai your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of Adonai your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. You are not to test Adonai your God as you tested him at Massah. Diligently keep the mitzvah of Adonai your God and his testimonies and his statutes that he has commanded you. You are to do what is right and good in the sight of Adonai so that it may go well with you and that you may go in and possess the good land that Adonai swore to your fathers, to drive out all your enemies from before you as Adonai has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances that Adonai our God commanded you? Then you are to tell your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and Adonai brought us out from Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, Adonai showed signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt, on Pharaoh, and on all his house. Then he brought us out from there so that he might bring us in, to give us the land that he swore to our fathers. Adonai commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Adonai our God, for our good always, to keep us alive as is the case this day. It will be righteousness to us if we take care to do all this commandment before Adonai our God, just as he has commanded us. Okay, so we're dealing with self-righteousness so that we can acknowledge Adonai needs your days prolonged, he needs you to increase, and he needs you to acknowledge that there's more to come. And when you prosper, so as you prepare and as you receive now, everything that you have received, all that has been done for you on your behalf, unto the next generation that follows you, that when you prosper and as you prosper now, that you do not forget who the source of the fulfillment of that prosperance and every promise is. Okay? That's it.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
I like the like bullet points. Boom, boom, boom. This is how you suck.
No.
That's why. I'm like, okay, check that out. I'm checking things off, not in a good way.
This is how faithful your God is.
Yes. Which is really good because when he says he's just repeating the instructions again and again, just means we haven't got it. And so I feel like it's getting more direct, but more simpler too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it. So a true witness, tithes, right? Which I think is very simple.
Yeah.
So true witness, tithes. I'm stalling for Amber.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
And a false witness, what?
Doesn't
hide.
Oh.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Sorry, guys. We're really put together tonight. I was trying to make a bottle.
You're fine. We can wait.
I didn't hear guys word to, like, dot connect, but...
So the true witness hides.
Oh, well.
That's it.
Done. Sounds good. Well, you guys remember this week is first fruits?
Yes.
Everybody knows what first fruits is. It's when we give our first of our increase to be able to sow and secure what is to come. So this month is, do you guys remember what this month is? What we said last week? It's kind of crazy after Megan's word tonight. It's when your righteousness becomes your foundation. So decide which righteousness you're going to operate in, his or self-righteousness.
Oh, good.
So that is up to you. And it's a whole year before you come back around to this month. So decide what you're sowing into. Be intentional with that. But another just quick reminder, you guys obviously know that Mom and Dad are gone this week. They're in Cabo. Has everybody seen their pictures?
Yes. Yeah. They're ridiculous.
Is everybody like daydreaming of being in Cabo? All the food? I'm like...
I'm legitimately worried.
I know. I don't know if they're going to come back. They're like, I canceled our tickets home.
We bought a house.
We're like, cool! No, but this was just another prompt and a reminder that whenever we're sowing into first fruits, again, our first fruits is what sends and expands our family.
Yeah.
And as they are the ones that have been the foundation, something what we wanted to honor this month, with it being our Kingdom Heirs 10-year anniversary, was being able to honor the foundation. So talk about a righteous foundation. They are ones who have stood as pillars for years in the waves of all of our chaos, all of the rescuing that they have had to do on our behalf, and just the self-righteousness that they have had to call us to awareness of, that they have been like the punching bag of all of our self-righteousness. our first fruits and all those things, again, just kind of sow into our intentional sendings to be able to feel the land in all these areas and feeling what Yahweh has for our family, and knowing like that there is so much more and so much more to really engage, that there are things that He is just continuing to expand us in and send Mom and Dad into first. So that is a big piece of it. So just be remembering that if you needed that reminder. But again, just going back to the first fruits month, really, I think it's her timing in what is being released is so pivotal and such a tool to be able to take and go home with and really establish, like, what am I going to do with what was released and how am I going to activate what was done so that I can establish a righteous foundation and not something that's built on myself, which ultimately crumbles anyway. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to be self-reliant. Hopefully everybody's seeing those things, but normally we end up in a cycle, like she's thinking too, of like, okay, I messed up again. And so we're not very dependable. So I would suggest not building your foundation on yourself. So with that, you guys can drop that in the tithe bucket, and then when we're ready, we have communion, and then we will do a brief intermission to do GCM. So whenever you guys are ready, we can just ship them over there.
All right, you guys, are we ready?
Yep.
Does everybody have their communion? Yes. You guys have yours?
Yes.
You bet a family? Okay. All right, well, what a perfect opportunity for us to be able to just praise the one who fully embodies righteousness, right? That as we pursue a life outside of self-righteousness, that as we learn not to be the source and the governor over our own lives, that we get to acknowledge the one who is the source and literally the source of your salvation and your redemption, your beginning, your future, and every promise that this cup and that this bread embodies, you get to engage freely because He is righteous. So allow it as you take time in your families or however you want to physically take communion. that as you do, just make sure before you do that you are activating that word immediately and going to a righteous God outside of yourself, meaning outside of self-righteousness. Simply acknowledge that trade as you take communion.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.